From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Sacramento County has less than 100 ballots left to be counted, which means election results are largely finalized. Today, we're going to focus on a change of leadership in Sacramento City Council District 4, which includes downtown, midtown, and East Sacramento. On Tuesday, Councilmember Katie Valenzuela conceded the race to her seat to UC Davis Health Project Manager Phil Pluckybaum. Councilmember Valenzuela received just over 46% of the vote versus Pluckybaum's 50.6%, and this is as of Tuesday. And remember, a candidate needs 50% plus one of the vote to avoid the November runoff. In a few minutes, we're going to meet Phil Pluckybaum, but first, there is still work left to be done. Councilmember Katie Valenzuela joins us about how she will round out her term, which ends in December. Good afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
So this obviously was not the outcome that you wanted. You tweeted a concession statement on Tuesday. What was the main message that you wanted to get across?
Oh, gosh, just gratitude for everybody who had supported me, not just in 2020 and in 2024 elections, but in all of those months in the middle of that. You know, I always remind people that I got elected in March 2020, 3 weeks before the shutdown. And so I really wanted to communicate just so much gratefulness for everybody who had helped and supported me throughout all of that just crazy times. And also to really remark on how much we had accomplished, you know, that I think was really reflected in all the precincts who I had represented voting for me again, which was a really great honor. And so I just wanted to make sure people knew that what we had done counted regardless of the outcome, and that I believe the constituents I've served for the last 4 years really see that. So
voter turnout citywide was 39%, mm-hmm. which is higher than what it looks like currently. I think it's 30% statewide. But even within your district, District 4, voter turnout was 51%, and this is according to Political Data, Inc. So it was significantly higher than even the city turnout. What does this high turnout tell you?
Yeah, we didn't quite get to the numbers we were hoping. You know, we spent a lot of time at doors in the days leading up to the election reminding people. People still forget that there's a March primary and that it's not in June. They forget. I even had one voter on Monday tell me, like, oh, I just thought they sent me this stuff really early for November. And so we did a lot of work turning out vote and had a lot of support doing that across the district. And I think it really showed that there was a lot of interest in this race, in this district, you know, particularly in the new parts of the district. And East Sac and River Park. Mm-hmm. Park, those are always some of the highest turnout precincts. Midtown, unfortunately, doesn't always have the highest turnout. So we worked really hard to try to make sure people's voices were counted and that they knew how important it was to vote in March.
Redistricting did play a big role for your district. Your district changed a lot since when you were elected in 2020. So looking at the ballot return breakdowns from Political Data, Inc., you won the city center. So you won Midtown and Downtown. Those were your existing constituents from 2020. But you lost east of Alhambra Boulevard. So those are the neighborhoods of East Sacramento and River Park. Those were your new constituents after redistricting in 2021. What outreach did you do in the 2 years between 2021 to, you know, now to build bridges and relationships with your new constituents in East Sacramento and River Park?
Yeah, it was a pretty significant change. My district changed 45%, which did mean the majority of voters were in downtown and midtown. But as I mentioned, a lot of them, there's lower propensity voters in that area. So we, you know, it was a delicate balance because we were told by the city attorney we weren't allowed to represent that area till after the election. So they had an interim council member in the form of the mayor. So we were trying to really balance, you know, we didn't want to use city resources to essentially be perceived as campaigning. And so we did a lot after hours. You know, people would reach out to us because they didn't understand redistricting. So we would do our best to help them when they did. But for the most part, it was the work of the campaign to canvas, to go to community events, to have house parties, to really introduce ourselves to a part of town that really not only didn't know me, but had been hearing not just through, you know, recall efforts and different local media, but, you know, the amount of money that went into this campaign and opposition to the work we had done and to myself was just overwhelming. And so it took a lot. I had so many conversations conversations with people across that part of the district who, when I'd meet with them directly myself and be standing there talking to them, every single time they were like, wow, you were totally different than I thought you would be. And I'm like, I know, you know, I know people don't understand, you know, what we've been doing and how I try to do the work. So we did just so much canvassing was really our strategy to try to get to as many people as we could. And I'm grateful for, I think it was just over 3,000 people who did vote for me in that area, which was pretty huge. But yeah, it wasn't quite where we needed it to be to claim victory this time.
And you mentioned that these neighborhoods, you know, historically, they have higher voter turnout. Mm-hmm. And that even played out for the primary. I talked about this district having a 51% voter turnout. But when you actually look at those neighborhoods east of Alhambra Boulevard, East Sacramento, voter turnout was 64%. It was even higher than the already high District 4 turnout. So as you reflect on your campaign, is there anything that you would have done differently? Because votes are also a community's voice.
Of course. You know, I think we were battling just hundreds of thousands of dollars in attacks on me and my record, TV ads, billboards, mail. I mean, I kept getting messages from people throughout the last month of the campaign being like, oh my gosh, make it stop, because they were just getting pieces of mail every single day just attacking us. And so it was, I think we did the best we could given that the people in that area really didn't know us. And I think for me, what I keep resting on is that the people who do know us, the district that I had been representing, we didn't lose one precinct in that area. And that means a lot to me, because it really shows that our work and our record spoke for itself. It's just we couldn't get past all that negativity to ensure the people in ESAC and River Park knew, you know, what we were trying to do. Because overwhelmingly, it was amazing. Some doors, even when people would say they wouldn't vote for me, they would be citing the same values and the same work I was doing, but they didn't understand that that's what we were doing. And so we were fighting against this constant negative perception that had a ton of money behind it. So, you know, I wouldn't do anything else in terms of our campaign. We knocked doors over 30,000 times. We did so much work to get to voters and to do house parties and really make sure our message was out there. We did, and I'm proud that I didn't take any corporate money, that we really stayed true to our values. It was redistricting really did more than we thought it might. But, you know, we're grateful for all the work and the people who helped us do as much as we could.
Yeah, because even despite the high voter turnout in this district, there were still 19,000 ballots that were left unreturned. And this race between the two of you, it just differed by, you know, a little over 800 votes.
Yeah. And I mean, statewide, we saw higher Republican turnout. You know, it was just, there were so many. And for me, one of the things, I mean, there's a lot of thoughts about what I do next after this term is done. But one of the things I'm really passionate about is civic engagement among renters. Those are definitely our lowest propensity voters. And there is a very big concentration of renters in the central city part of my district. So I think regardless of what comes next, I want to make sure those voices get heard, because when we talk to those people, they were very much like, yes, I understand this is really important, but just not everybody voted. And that's, you know, something that we need to change in the future if we want to ensure our council really aligns with our values and priorities moving forward.
You also mentioned in your statement that you reached out and congratulated Phil Pluckybaum. How did the conversation go?
It went very well. He had just come out of surgery. So I give him a lot of plus for actually answering my call when he was still, I think, coming out of pain medication and, you know, foggy anesthesia. But it was fine. It was cordial. You know, I'm definitely committed to ensuring a smooth transition. I didn't really have that when I came into office. And so we've set up all of these systems and have projects and constituent needs that we want to make sure carry forward. So we're committed to working together this summer and fall to make sure that happens.
What advice do you have for him? I mean, you've been doing this now for 3.5 years in this term.
You know, one of the best pieces I got, and I can't remember who gave it to me, but right before I got sworn in, I remember somebody telling me, you know, Katie, don't forget that now you represent everybody, not just the people who supported you. You know, keep an open mind to everybody's concerns, you know, and we worked really hard to do that. Despite what people say, you know, there are people who would harangue and just insult me in public, who would reach out to me when there was a constituent issue, we would still help them. You know, it was never personal like that for us. And I think that's what's so important, because the issues we campaigned on are issues that I heard across the district, not just in the central city. You know, people are concerned about housing. They're concerned about displacement. They're concerned about real solutions to homelessness. So, you know, the best piece of advice I got that I would give to Phil today is, you know, that you represent everybody now. And I think one of the most powerful things an elected official can do is really listen to constituents and be open to maybe taking a different path than they thought they would when they got sworn in.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking with Sacramento City Council member Katie Valenzuela, who conceded her race for re-election. At the end of your concession statement, you said that it was both the hardest and most rewarding experience being a council member holding elected office in the city of Sacramento. As you look back at your nearly 4 years, you're still not done, but as you reflect on your time, what have been some of your most impactful successes?
Oh, man. I mean, so many things. I mean, when we came into office, the city was not only not doing safe camping and parking, they were opposed to safe camping and parking. And we changed that in our first 2 months in office by opening the first safe camping area, which we did with grit and determination and some really dedicated city staff and volunteers. You know, we passed the ordinance to protect reproductive health care centers, which was an incredibly powerful process. I still have volunteers from Planned Parenthood coming up to me at events thanking me for how much that ordinance has meant for them and the patients seeking care. I mean, just Tuesday when we adopted the Sanctuary City resolution for transgender people, just the outpouring from my constituents, not just transgender, but people who were allies who said, you have no idea how much this meant. And every day, honestly, throughout my campaign, throughout every day since I've taken office, you know, I've had people stop work. You know, I've had busboys like freeze and say, hey, are you Katie Valenzuela? And tell me just how much what we've done means to them, how heard they felt. And that was definitely has always been the most rewarding. Even since my concession on Tuesday, just the outpouring from the community, the texts, the emails, the Facebook messages, it's been incredible to feel that impact. And we couldn't have done any of it without all of these amazing supporters. So I am it has been so rewarding, but I will not lie that it has been very hard. You know, we've gotten death threats and had harassment and just really the vitriol of social media and just all of those things. But for the most part, you know, serving with my colleagues, everybody says that we're like so different, but really we agree on a lot. And above it all, we've really become a family up there. And I'm grateful to have had this experience even through those hard times.
You still have 8+ months.
Yeah.
What else do you want to tackle?
Oh my gosh. Well, the tenant protection program expires this year. So that's definitely top of our agenda is ensuring a strong renewal and some reforms to that. You know, we have some really cool projects in the work in the community that we want to see through, reopening Southside Pool, getting the Latino Center for Arts and Culture in the Wynn Park building. And we are going to continue to do everything we can to support the community as they come to us for events, for constituent needs, all of that. You know, there's some more police accountability work, our big budget deficit. I mean, it will not be dull for the next 8 months for sure. But my team and I are very committed to finishing this term strong and ensuring that as I said at one point in my statement when I said I feel like we truly haven't wasted one day, there's just a deep satisfaction in feeling that because it's 100% true. And we will not waste one day of these next 8 months making sure we leave as much of a mark on this town as we can.
So then finally, I mean, what could this foundation that you laid out in city council as a city council member, what could it lead to? I mean, I know you're just a couple days, 48 hours into, coming into this reality of a different chapter come December. But have you thought about what you would like to do?
Yeah, I've been lots of conversations, a few even people saying, hey, can I hire you in the last few days, which has been really flattering. You know, I did this work before I took office. I'll keep doing this work after, what that looks like professionally and personally. I don't know. But I do know, as I mentioned, renter civic engagement is going to be there, whether it's as a volunteer, as a renter, or in a professional capacity, and just really excited about what the future brings and how I can keep doing what I love, which is really working with community to make our community a better place.
Councilmember Valenzuela, thank you.
Thank you.
Nice seeing you. That is Sacramento City Councilmember Katie Valenzuela, who conceded her race for re-election in District 4, which encompasses downtown, midtown, and East Sacramento. Up next, Phil Pluckybaum joins us about how he hopes to lead District 4 in Sacramento once he's sworn in December. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We just heard from Councilmember Katie Valenzuela, representing Sacramento District 4, who conceded the race for her seat following the March primary. District 4 spans the city's downtown, midtown, and East Sacramento neighborhoods. Election results won't be certified for another 2 weeks, but with less than 100 votes left to count in Sacramento County, this race is largely finalized. The candidate who received more than 50% of votes notes is Phil Pluckybaum, who is new to elected office. He is a project manager for UC Davis Health and for the last 8 years has served as an appointee to the Sacramento Planning and Design Commission. And with that, we welcome Phil Pluckybaum. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
So you're a longtime Sacramentan, but you may be a new name and a new face to people listening in. So we'd love just for you to introduce yourself and your connection to the city.
Sure. I met my wife here after I graduated from Sac State, and I think it was 2001. We set up shop in Midtown. I had our first child there, raised both our boys primarily in River Park, where we landed after house hunting for a while. And I've been there ever since, I think 20 years this fall. The youngest is grown. The oldest has married with kids of his own. And you know, one of the things that we started out focusing on, you know, way back then was schools. It was natural when the kids were little. And we worked on advocating for school for the former Sakai attendance area. But, you know, as the kids grew up, so did the issues that we were focused on. So that led naturally to me being more engaged with the city.
Yeah. I mean, you were part of Sacramento's Planning and Design Commission. I mean, what was your role in that?
So each council member gets an appointee to the Planning and Design Commission. I was Councilmember Harris's appointee.
We can hear you. You can just.
Okay. The opportunity to continue to work to make sure that we had good access to reliable, affordable housing in the region was you know, exciting to me. I had worked, I think, two recessions ago as a land use project manager, and so I had, you know, some of that those old skills about, you know, reading EIRs and understanding CEQA and land use stuff. So, you know, the opportunity to flex some of those muscles again and use them on behalf of the city was interesting to me for sure.
What sparked your interest in running for city council?
Yeah, the challenge that we're all facing, you know, how to provide services for people experiencing homelessness with compassion, you know, ripples out into all sectors of, you know, all of our lives. We have a housing affordability crisis that certainly impacts both of our boys and everyone that's trying to live in the city right now. And then all the other, you know, issues around municipal services and how those are being deployed, you know, with equity and efficacy and you know, sort of haste, you know, simple things like road maintenance, potholes and parks maintenance, you know, all the way up to, you know, more, you know, global issues about, you know, how we're, providing, you know, good responsive policing in a way that's, you know, equitable and just. You know, there's a whole, you know, range of issues that the city council has under its charter to focus on. And from my point of view, it's just a different kind of project management, you know, a way to look at the, you know, what are the priorities the city needs to focus on and then help establish, you know, the level of urgency that staff needs to put on each of those priorities and then have them report back.
And you weren't satisfied with the way things were being done. I would imagine that's why you started campaigning.
Yeah, the challenge that we have right now is that we need people in the city council that are willing to work as partners with both each other on the council and our friends at the county and at the state and the folks that are doing the work, right? The business owners, the developers, the builders, the laborers, the trades groups, you know, all those different people have at different times expressed frustration with the tone and tenor of the relationships that they've had with you know, their partners in the city, and my goal is to let folks know we want them to continue to do that work here. We want them to invest their time and their money here. We want this to be a city, a destination city, a place that people choose to be and continue to raise their families and make it vibrant for everyone.
Yeah, as I mentioned to Councilmember Valenzuela, voter turnout citywide was 39%, but this district specifically was over 50%. It was 51%. So what does this turnout tell you? Because it was high, relatively speaking.
Yeah, District 4, you know, everything from Old Sac to East Sac is a very engaged population of people. The we're looking at this glass half full. That also means that half of the ballots in the district didn't get returned. You know, I would seek to, you know, get that number, you know, as close to 100 as practical. You know, there's things that we could do to help improve voter turnout. But obviously, you know, the citizens of District 4 are disproportionately engaged. And there are, you know, some impacts and some issues. People experiencing homelessness is a key one that impact District 4 disproportionately to other places in the city. And I think that is felt in the level of engagement that we have from our citizens.
When it comes to people experiencing homelessness, I would think people who live in Midtown and downtown in the city center, I mean, they experience that on a daily basis. You know, the fact that you won the neighborhoods of Esac and River Park east of Alhambra by, you know, a decent chunk. And this race relatively was pretty close. I mean, you beat Councilmember Valenzuela by just over 800 votes. So how will you build bridges and work with the neighborhoods downtown and midtown, which overall went to Councilmember Valenzuela? How would you work with those who will eventually become your constituents who didn't vote for you?
Whenever you're applying for a job in project management, usually the first question that gets asked is, what's the most important thing for a project manager to do? And if you don't answer, communicate up front, the rest of the interview is suspect. That is literally the textbook first thing you're supposed to do. I don't see this job as greatly different in that score. I think what we expect from our elected representatives is for them to hear our points of view, report back on issues and votes and things that are relative to those points of view and important to us, and just do a good job of communicating what's happening in the city, and so that folks can be aware of where are the opportunities for them to engage and express interest and opinion. And there's a lot of willingness to do more. There's having knocked all the doors in the district, I'm overwhelmed with the amount of people who would love to find a point of entry where they can help. And so one of the things we need to do is provide people better opportunities to express their desire to help, either through volunteerism or donations, fundraising, and all those different avenues. So, from my point of view, what I get to do for the next 6-7 months is just listen and get to know the district even better and all the people and groups within it, so that when I start in December, I'll have, the best sense I can have of what's important to this district, and then be able to represent those ideas.
You'll be sworn in December. And I'm curious, what did Councilmember Valenzuela do right? Are there any initiatives of hers over the last, 3+ years that you would like to continue?
Oh, yeah. And in fact, that was when she called me, that was the gist of the conversation we had, which was, there's a lot of stuff, a ton of stuff that everyone agrees on. I mean, 80-90% of it, for the most part, is uncontroversial, run the business stuff. So things like, repaving South, treating Southside Park Pool so that it can be open in the summer, repairing the pickleball courts, making sure that we have good active transportation opportunities for folks on bike and pedestrian and, non-car modalities. There's a ton of work out there that needs to continue. The work that she's been doing around DEI and, making Sacramento a sanctuary city for trans people. These are, things that we can figure out how to continue and make sure that work continues. That stuff should be handed off seamlessly. And then all the other stuff, the projects that other people are doing, those are, largely independent of us. The council gives direction about, our preferences, trying to express, the desires of the population that's being impacted one way or another by a project. But, most of those things are going to happen or not happen based on market forces, greater than the council. Mm.
Finally, Phil, soon to be, next year, council member Plucky Baum, what happens between now and December when you're sworn in?
Yeah, I got a long overdue knee surgery and I get to, spend some time with my family, catching up on the honey-do list of chores I have neglected. And then, I get to have a good long time to think about what are the things that we want to hit the ground running with in December, and thinking about, meeting with and listening to, the citizens of District 4. I've never been smart enough to actually plan a break between jobs. So it's actually really nice to have this time to step back a little bit, take a breath and regroup for the next round.
Phil, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
That is Phil Pluckybaum, who, according to preliminary election results, will become Sacramento's new council member for District 4, which encompasses downtown, midtown, and East Sacramento. The current council member, Katie Valenzuela, conceded the race earlier this week. The votes will be certified in April, in 2 weeks. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.